For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think that it's a menu left on the track, but still, you know, we have to bring the one piece, we have to keep it, we should have to come down. But I think so far looks good. I think we still had a little bit of struggling in terms of carb rounds, but we see it's a long way. If we can adjust a little bit, try to adjust and just build a car more better for the, you know, for the next session.
Thanks, Corey. Let's hear from Tom. Tell us about your stint so far, or how it's going for you guys.
Yeah, we had a pretty difficult start. We got a few things wrong on the old tire pressures for that first stint, so that was really difficult, but we managed to rectify that over the next couple, and you know, we were able to get ourselves a little bit back in the race there, and a bit more competitive, but the Cadillacs look super quick. So it's definitely going to be a long, long race. Still a lot of work for us to do. Like Murray said, you know, our cars, we're not there yet, but hopefully the race in the track comes to us over the next, you know, few hours. But it's definitely chaotic out there, that's for sure.
Go to questions. Go to Jordan.
I'm Jordan Bianchi, Athletic. This is for Kumi. Kumi, can you talk about that pass, the number 10 car, the opening laps there on cold tires?
10 car?
Yeah, you passed the snap. At Albuquerque?
Oh, yeah, it's not. I don't know. Good. Okay, good move, you mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, it looked.
Thank you. I completely forgot. When I was 10, 10 was behind in the last, you know, couple of laps. That's why I had. Well, yeah, lose the position to the 10. Yeah, actually, I was starting behind the 10, yes.
Some other drivers seemed to think that you were a little maybe too aggressive. Where would you respond to that?
Well, you know me. No surprise, maybe. I can't say. I drive like normal, to be honest. I didn't go crazy. I tried to manage the minimum risk, to be honest. But if it looks like, maybe.
Go to Jenna.
Hey, for all three of you. You've all mentioned, Kamui specifically, you said 60 cars out there. It's chaotic, it's aggressive. How do you handle it? Is there anything specifically that was maybe over the line?
I mean, the most difficult part is probably after restarts and stuff like that, where you're coming up on a bunch of, you know, the cars are still packed together. I think just before, I don't know if it was middle of that last sort of stint there, after the yellow, yeah, then we came at one point on, like, it felt like the whole GT field, and that was pretty crazy. So it's quite difficult to, you know, when they're racing, when they're super close, and then obviously Bourdais got caught out at turn one with GT spinning, so you've just got to dodge everything. You have to be super alert. You know, you can't relax at all. You feel like you're completely on edge for the, you know, the whole time you're in the car, so it's pretty challenging, but you just have to, you know, this is such a long race, you just got to be smart really about it.
Earl?
Yeah, I think the same. Me and Tom went through the same pack of traffic, and it gets dicey when we go low off the six and they're still high and the crossover point. So yeah, it's going to be a really tough long night, and I think it's who's there in the morning with a clean car still, because I think a lot's going to happen in this race, even though it's going green for a long way. You've got to be so alert, and yeah, there's 60 guys and now they're going to run through different drivers and stuff like that, so it's difficult to learn and manage who's in the block out.
What about you in traffic?
Yeah, I think it's pretty difficult compared to the last 2 or 3 years. But I think in the end of the race, probably, I think it's going to be 14 car wrecked or something like that. So just we have to survive this stage. And I think tomorrow will be a little bit less trouble for everyone. And I think, you know, the all the gentlemen drive over there, everybody get more experience to how the, you know, the game be positioned to us. So it's going to be more easy, I guess. So try to survive until the night or close the night, and we'll see how it goes.
Additional questions? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm curious, how do you guys sort of pace yourselves when you're in the car, knowing the conditions and knowing that you need to get to tomorrow, and holding back or throttling your own natural urge to be aggressive?
I'll start, man. Well, I mean, when you're in the car, you know, we're all quite experienced drivers here, and it's a 24-hour race, so it's all about risk management, ultimately. Always, you know, you're always trying to take the car to, you know, basically the get the most out of it at all moments, especially in the style of racing, because, you know, it's so chaotic out there. So, but I mean, it's just all about managing the risk, to be honest. There's nothing really more to it. You know, when it's not about being aggressive or not aggressive. Obviously, at the end of the race, when you're really fighting for victory or for the podium or whatever it may be, you know, you're going to be a little bit potentially more aggressive when you're racing one another, but you know, you still have to manage the traffic, you still have to manage, you know, all the elements and whatnot. So yeah, you know, it's just about being clever really in these races with so many cars on track.
Anything to add either?
I don't remember the question.
How do you manage?
No, I was watching the TV, so.
Did you like what you saw on the TV?
Very important.
Very good. How do you manage your own urge to be aggressive and pace?
Yeah. No, I think I don't need to manage. I mean, just, you know, you have to check if this guy give it away or not. You know, it's not taking risk, at least. I try to not contact at all. I mean, this is the target anyway. So for myself, when you're overtaking like slow GT or whatever, MP3, it's not trying to take a risk, just if he realized I'm there or not. I think this is the most important part of the taking risk, because if he knew, he was looking mirror, at least if we dive, still he can avoid the collision. But it's only problem if he don't look and we dive. I mean, this is miscommunication, it's gonna be the most risky part. So this is what I'm doing on the track. So I would say it wasn't really taking risk. I'm gonna go dive, for example. Try to not you know, go in the same direction. So instead of going inside track, if you're overtaking from outside, probably you can dive, because anyway, car going to inside. So what we do, we not to stop. So I think this is the way how you handle it.
Additional questions? Keep it going.
It's expensive, right? Getting expensive.
Earl, first stint with your new team, how'd you feel?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, first stint, there's still a lot to learn. It's quite a different style compared to the GC stuff around here. And that's just a matter of trying to survive. I think we all know, all of us, that the race is not won today. It's won tomorrow. So, yeah, it's just a matter of cruising around. Chip gave us some good instructions not to damage it and make sure that it's nice and clean tomorrow. So yeah, it was good fun. I mean, the category is awesome, and you don't want to get out of the car. You want to do stint after stint, because it's really fun calming the traffic and doing all that stuff.
Anybody else? Okay, guys, go get some rest. In the number 10 car, eventful couple of stints. Talk us through that if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I was not expecting that speed from the Cadillacs in the beginning, just couldn't hold them. They were a little bit quicker on us with the cold tires in the beginning. The car is very good, our car. At this stage of the race, we don't have so much pace for them. They are completely controlling us, but it's a long race. Normally, when the track evolves a little bit, I expect to be a little bit closer. We have a little bit advantage of top speed on the straight, but we just cannot stay with them on the corners or tractioning out of the slow corners. Traffic, it's pretty interesting. I think I will be happy if I finish this race so much on the limit that we need to be to stay up with the other guys and without any mistakes, because I think it's super easy to do a mistake. The LMP2s, they are really, really quick. It's hard to pass them. So it's going to be interesting. And once again, I had a lot of fun.
Questions? Jordan Miyake.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. What did you think of the aggressiveness exhibited by the driver of the 48 car on the opening laps?
I mean, he was not really aggressive. I mean, he was just faster than me, and it's just like we've done around the outside. It's just he was fast, and I think he was in control. And I believe the most experienced drivers, like, well, I'm gonna go easy, but then you just get self carried away with the pace and how everything falls out. And obviously, Kamui had a really good car, and he was going fast and just pulling away. So I think he was comfortable with that.
A couple drivers have mentioned the possibility of conditions of possible ice forming on the racetrack. Have you heard that at all? Is that a concern for you?
I think we need to take it as it goes. I mean, it changes so much if it's going to be. I've been here when it was 0 degrees and with a lot of rain. It's going to be very, very tricky with the new tires getting out, with really cold tires, but it's going to be surviving that time there. But again, I'm not thinking about that yet. I'm going to go in the car, I think, around midnight or something. I see as it goes, but I believe everyone will be trying to double stint the tires to avoid as much as they can that thing. And obviously, safety cars will not make our life easier.
Well, Austin, driver number 15, Mercedes AMG GT3 and the GTD Pro Class. Very early into this race, but just how's it been out there with the amount of cars and traffic you've been facing?
Yeah, it's been fun trying to chase down this guy. It's funny, you don't know any of your competitors. I just spent an entire stint trying to catch up to him, and I just shook his hand and introduced myself. You know, it's kind of one of those melting pot races, and it's the same thing with navigating traffic. You work so hard to understand during the practice and the qualifying races who's driving what cars, what spotters can relay to you to make your life easier. I would say the LMP3 cars make our stints incredibly challenging because they usually stack up the GT cars a lot. And sometimes you can have good drivers, and then sometimes you can have guys like that backwards in the runoff. So it's definitely a challenge. I feel like the draft has come more into play. I don't know if it's cooler temperatures than I've ever had in a GT car, even yesterday in the Michelin Pilot Challenge race. So it's been fun, but I think we're able to keep the car in the top five most of the stint. I think it's a good start for us.
And over to Matthew, driver the number 9 FAF Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R, who, as Austin alluded to, led quite a substantial part of the race here, just, you know, leading.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
GTD Pro at the start or for that period of time, I mean, you know, certainly a long way to go, but how are you feeling about your chances so far?
I mean, so far it's looking pretty good, I would say. Had a good start. Could keep the car in a good shape, looking after the tires. Still had some fight, I mean, with some cars. I lost the lead, got it back, lost it. Everything is running fine at the moment. The car is spot on. The guys did a pretty amazing job to put the car together for the race, and it seems like we've got a really good pace at the moment. So Felipe just took over. We are running P2, I guess, now. But right behind the sister car or North Porsche, so pretty happy on how it went, and it's still very, very long way into the race, very early into the race, so the moment is just kind of relax and drive around.
Thanks, Matthew. We'll go to questions. We'll start here in the middle, and then we'll move up. Go ahead, Terry.
Steve, Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Their first caution is obviously a little bit of organized chaos when coming to pit road with 61 cars that are in this field. For either or both, what is kind of the strategy at this point, both under caution and in a green flag, to try and work around 61 cars on the road?
Couldn't hear honestly.
He was the full question.
Basically, managing the crowded pit road with that many cars.
What is your strategy both under caution or under green for managing?
What's your strategy under caution or green managing entry and exit?
Obviously, we always try to save fuel as much as we can on the yellow for the shortest fueling time at the stop. This is clear. Also on track on the green, for sure. Every opportunity, I try to save fuel when I could in traffic. And this actually, I think, helped us also at the first yellow to stay in front because we got a pretty quick stop. And then, for sure, it's very cold outside. You need to look after your tires. We know the cautions can be pretty long. So for sure, it's difficult to sometimes bring up the temperature, and we drive quite slow behind the safety car. So yeah, look after your tires, after your fuel, and make sure you're ready when it's green.
Greg, go ahead.
Greg Ingolato, Week. Mr. Garani was just in here, and they were talking about the teams were talking about possibility of ice tonight. Is that the discussion that's among the teams, that you have to kind of prepare for that in some form or fashion?
I think the only way I've prepared for it is I plan on taking my helmet with me inside of the bus so it doesn't freeze from the sweat that's in it. Because it is going to be cold. I mean, I can't think of one that I've done that's been this cold. And, the tough part is we've had so much weather throughout the week. I guarantee you everybody hasn't been able to scuff enough tires to get you through those freezing temperatures. So it's been a while since I've had to really deal with cold tires on a green flag basis like I think you have to in these types of cars. And it's very tricky. It's going to catch some people out. And I think it's especially difficult for the prototypes, especially amateurs and LC3 cars. That's where the miscommunication in traffic, I think, usually causes that caution in the middle of the night. Holly? You're good? Any others? Go ahead, John.
Austin, how are you feeling? I think you had a pretty busy week. You tested in Phoenix, and then you ran yesterday's race, and now today?
I feel good right now. I mean, this double stint at the beginning of the race asked me after my second triple, I guess. It's been, like you said, a really busy week, really, since the next-gen Daytona test, because did the next-gen Daytona test, and then we have all of the NASCAR production stuff during the week, and then I come here for the Roar, where I'm doing double duty, do the qualifying race, then go to Phoenix, come back and do practice in the GT4 after a red-eye flight, and then do the regular weekend, and then do the race yesterday, and then today, and then the classes next week. So it's been pretty awesome. So I can't really complain too much. My food intake has replaced my sleep intake. So that'll definitely catch up with me on Monday when I have to show up at Penske Production Day. And try not to have packs under my eyes. But it's been a lot of fun, and I don't think anyone would look at me straight if I complained about the week I've had.
Glamorous life of a race car driver.
Wouldn't trade it.
I'm wondering, how have you liked the next gen car? You guys were pretty fast in Phoenix.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.